Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the loss to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, that was a difficult game to watch. We missed a lot of shots, but that's okay. Again, this is a young team learning how to play a new system.
Yeah, I heard Michael Cage say that there are no wasted NBA minutes. You know, we have trouble getting practices in and even shoot-arounds in the current climate. So in the end, this team was able to get out there and continue to execute even though the score was insurmountable. It was impressive to see their attitudes and the coaches continue to focus in on trying to win the game. We're gonna get started off by talking about the game recap, and then we'll go into our stats a little bit. We'll go quarter by quarter. We'll talk about our offensive and defensive takeaways, the upcoming schedule, our fan of the game, and of course, as always, we're gonna end it with a great rant. Here we go.
Yeah, this was, again, like I said, a very difficult game to watch. There's a lot of things that happened that just made it look like we were wearing cement shoes for the entire game. But that's not taking anything away from Denver, the way they came out ready to play, ready to ball really hard. That was really impressive by them. I was still excited that Coach kept Bazley in the game for 32 minutes today to help him learn. He was playing outstanding. So that's something that is definitely a positive.
Yeah, from the beginning, it was a game that was clear that the Nuggets were in better position to win. We were coming back off of a back-to-back, and our whole schedule has been pretty hectic. It was our ninth game in 14 days, and watching Ty Jerome be the first sub in off the bench, it was clear that, you know, we're just basically running on fumes. We had a great win last night against the Hawks, and then tonight, you know, we try to carry that momentum in. It didn't happen, but in the end, you know, watching this team compete, watching the way that they didn't let the scoreboard affect their mentality, you know, I told you during the game that there was nothing about the body language of our players that would indicate the score, and I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, especially the amount of shots that we were missing and how many three-pointers, especially in the first quarter that we were missing. I just felt like there was a lot of positive things to look at, and obviously the coaching staff is incredibly positive because none of the guys looked like they were hanging their head. They were just trying to work hard and take off a little bit of the lead at a time, and I felt like our second team just did a really amazing job at trying to keep it close when they were able to.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the stats real quick, and then we'll go forward on talking about the game a little bit more. So Dort had one of his biggest struggles offensively, really on both sides of the ball all season this year. He had 2 points, one rebound, and one block. Bazley, on the other hand, probably had one of his best games, even though I'm sure he would never claim it, you know, in a loss like this. But he had 22 points, four rebounds, one assist, and one block. Al Horford went for 6 points, five rebounds, two assists, one steal, and two blocks. Teo put up 1 point, three rebounds, five assists, one steal, and SGA, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Now this one I love. Ty Jerome put up 15 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. Kenny Williams, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. How about this? Isaiah Roby, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. Moose went for 8 points, 1 rebound, and 1 steal. And Justin Jackson, 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 steal.
I've been saying it all year long is that the similarities in Isaiah Roby and Al Horford are uncanny. And again, we were able to see Isaiah just be able to pass the ball in an incredible way. He was matched up a lot tonight with a bigger body all night long. And you saw that the way that he was able to pull out whoever was on him outside of the basket and outside of the lane, it was huge for him. He was able to do some great things tonight, and definitely, as I'm looking at everything, I felt like he was a lot of the heart and soul that was going on there, and one of the reasons why we came back in the second quarter to cut it close.
Yeah, definitely. I loved watching him play. I felt like these were really good minutes for Roby. Obviously, Ty Jerome, they were great minutes for, and Kenny got some good minutes in there, too. Overall, our assist-turnover ratio wasn't that bad. We had 24 assists and 14 turnovers. You know, that's not going to kill you, but what did kill us was our three-point shooting. We shot 11 for 47, 23.5% total on three-point shooting. So that was a killer.
Yeah, again, the way that we shoot the basketball, we're going to have games like this. This is not something that should become a surprise to anybody, especially when we come out like we did yesterday, shooting really well. We knew that there was going to be a game that we're going to struggle, and that's just okay. And it's about the heart that the kids showed and the guys showed tonight. It's about the way that we were able to get out there and play hard. A lot of the starters didn't get a lot of minutes, and I'm super excited about that. Give these guys as much rest as they can. Horford only had 25 minutes tonight. Dort only had 21. SGA only put 26 minutes in tonight. Ty Drummond, he put 30 minutes in tonight, and man, he did some amazing things. And later today, we're going to have an opportunity to talk shit on somebody that wrote a very negative piece about Ty, and I am excited to do that because I want to stand up for Ty, and the way he's showing that he can play right now is outstanding, and I'm telling you, he can be a huge piece off of that bench.
Absolutely, man. Ty was definitely, he's been a contributor in the two games he's been here, and he's only been with the team since leaving the G League, I think, for 3 days, so that's pretty impressive. To start out the game, we had Al Horford back in the lineup, Lu Dort, SGA, Darius Baisley, and Théo Maledon. So this is a group that we're pretty used to seeing. You know, Al and Roby are sort of interchangeable in that starting lineup. To start out the game, we got down pretty good. It was basically, 13? They scored 13 points before Dort got our first bucket. So at that point, it was 2-13 with 8 minutes and 40 seconds left in the first quarter. One thing that I thought was really impressive at this point, though, was Coach didn't use a timeout. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have. I don't know. But what I really appreciated about it was there was a lack of panic. Like I said, there wasn't any body language that was indicative of a team that had fallen behind by so much. And as the game went on, we still continued to struggle to score. SGA got our next bucket, and that was a minute 20 seconds later. And at that point, that's put it to 4-15. And a few seconds later, Coach finally called his first timeout when we were down 4-17. We were really struggling to figure out how we were going to get any offense going. So what we did is we went to SGA and told him to go and drive. And he did that. He got us a bucket there. And we continued to, you know, try to figure out ways to manufacture buckets. Ty Jerome was the first player to come in off the bench. I think that says a lot about where he fits in our lineup and how much confidence Coach has in him. Baisley was able to get a strong drive, and then Ty was able to knock down a three. He used a ball fake to freeze the defense, and SGA got the assist on that play.
Yeah, it was really nice to be able to see the versatility that Ty has. He plays a lot of shooting guard and point guard. Kenny and him play really off the ball and on the ball very well. These guys together, especially on the second team, it's just really impressive. I like Mark said, I don't think it's a coincidence that he led the team in minutes off the bench. I think it's one of those things that we're going to see a lot with him, especially when he continues to mature like he is.
SGA scored 4 consecutive points for us, but so the Nuggets were continuing to score too, so we weren't really closing the gap. Roby was able to get a bucket with 30 seconds left in the quarter, and then Moose was able to knock down a deep three off of Roby's assist. But even with all that, we were still down 18. The score was 20-38 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, Mark, being down 18 in the first quarter is always a check in your testicles, man. And it's just one of those things that you have to be able to get up and play hard and try to get through it, because obviously, like we were seeing in the first quarter, nothing was falling for us.
Right, and this goes back to the body language that I mentioned at the beginning. You know, there was no indicators that our team was just, you know, down by that much. They looked like they were continuing to fight. Like you said, our feet did seem like they were in cement, probably because we played a back-to-back, and we were also playing one of the NBA's best teams. And so with all of their backdoor cuts and their Princeton-style offense where they just run a lot of cuts off of the high post when the ball is in Joker's hands and let him, you know, facilitate the offense, it was really difficult. So it's not something you can just, like, use a lot of aggression and increase the pressure on defense to try to disrupt. Because of the way they pass so well, you have to really avoid the temptation of gambling, and that was something we did pretty well, although we weren't necessarily able to slow them down. Now, in the second quarter, it was a very interesting quarter. We were able to close that gap at one point to 11 points, but by the end of the second quarter, they had opened that gash back up. Let's go ahead and go over the second quarter, because there's quite a few plays that are really Interesting, I think, that we should talk about. First, Kenny was able to get a bucket off of a drive, and that was, you know, what we see from Kenny all the time. He has really a really unique way of driving. He doesn't use an overwhelming amount of quickness or power. What he uses is really a lot of creativity. And so, you know, when he drives, what he offers is really, you know, an amazing combination. He was able to draw an offensive foul on the next play off of a screen, and then Justin Jackson was able to get a bucket. Then Denver used a timeout because we were on that run. The score was 24-38.
Yeah, we were able to make it a game really quickly. It was something that I started getting excited about. Mark and I were talking about, as this is, again, we're watching the Thunder come back from a 20-point deficit. And it was just one of those things that as the game went on that we were recognizing that this team just has so much heart. They were able to continue to fight and make it work.
Kenny was able to get four more consecutive points, one off of a Roby assist, and the other one was an offensive rebound tip. The thing was, they were about almost 2 minutes apart, so our offense wasn't exactly clicking, but in that time, Denver didn't score any points either. So, you know, we were still fighting and we were still hanging on. Then it was Roby's turn with 8 minutes and 10 seconds left to get a bucket off of a Teo assist. Ty Jerome went for four consecutive points, one off of an offensive rebound, and once again, a Roby assist was able to hook him up. At the next play, Roby went for a bucket off of a fast break, and he finished over Joker. At 6 minutes and 20 seconds left, this brought the score 36-47, and we were down 11. And this was as close as we got.
Yeah, I felt like Malone did a really good job at coaching the team to recognize that this has been our fifth game in 7 nights. And he really put it at it with us. He was able to continue to spread the floor out. Whenever we got on a run, he spread the floor out and had the guys start cutting really, really, really hard, like Mark said, the Princeton offense. And because of that, it wore us out all the way through the night, and it continued to create issues with our guys. And that's just something that we're going to see just because of how many games we played in the last week.
So with 3 minutes and 40 seconds left, Al was able to get a bucket off of an SGA assist. It was an incredible pass. I'm still not even sure how he did it. I watched it 3 times, and I still can't quite figure it out. And if I can't figure it out after watching it that many times, I'm pretty sure I could never, ever even try to do it. But from that point, with 3 minutes and 40 seconds left, until Bazley was able to get a dunk off of Roby assist, it was a good 3 minutes before we scored again. And by the time the quarter was over, we were down 22. The score was 43-65.
Yeah, SGA's pass was really incredible. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure it'll be on ESPN. I had to watch it in slow mo to be able to see exactly how it went down. It was beautiful. It was incredibly awesome how he was able to fake it and make that flick so incredibly fast. It was one of those passes that you look and you're like, okay, this is exactly the type of passer that he can be, especially because he wasn't having an on night with shooting tonight, shooting 1-for-6 for the game from 3-point land. He was able to get it done by passing the ball like these times that he was just, you know, dropping dimes like it was nothing.
Start out the third quarter, Baze was able to score 5 consecutive points, 2 off of 3 throws, and then Baze knocked down a 3 off of a Teo assist. Then it was a few minutes later before Al was able to get a bucket off of a SGA assist. It was, you know, once again, that connection has been really special to watch. We continued to fight, and Baze got a bucket off of an Al assist, and that was with 7 minutes and 40 seconds left, but at that point, the score was 52-76. The Nuggets were really clicking. Like I said about their offense, it was in flow, it was in sync, and we really couldn't even slow them down. It was, you know, Dort usually has a pretty big impact on the other team's best player, but the way that they were playing, it really took Dort out of what he likes to do, which is be a real big disruptor. Now, a few minutes later, Baze was able to get a big dunk off of an SGA assist. SGA was able to get 5 consecutive points, 2 off of free throws, and then he knocked down a 3. And then with 4 minutes left, Roby was able to knock down a 3 off of a Ty assist. I love seeing that combination. You know, Ty passing to Roby, I feel like we're going to talk about that a lot.
100%, Mark. There is no doubt in my mind that those two guys are going to be passing the ball to each other a lot. Roby passing it back after Ty will cut, and vice versa, is going to work incredibly well. Both of them see the floor and have a great vision for the floor. So again, this is something that Mark and I are continuously getting excited about, knowing that these two guys are going to continue to mature together off the bench and continue to do great things.
You know, Al was able to get a bucket. Kenny was able to get a bucket. Moose was able to get a bucket. And all that didn't really matter. At the end of the third quarter, we were down 30, 69 to 99.
Again, it came down to hitting shots. Like Mark said, we hit some, you know, big buckets, but in the long run, it didn't really matter. They were able to keep us off the offensive glass pretty successfully. And again, that's not something that's, you know, a shocker, because we are playing Denver. I know their record is 18 and 15. They've only won four more games than we have. That should just tell you, being only five games behind Denver, is Denver's team is better than their record, and they're going to come back and they're going to do some great things. So it's going to be awesome to be able to watch Denver as they continue to get better, because this is exactly what we're trying to do with the Oklahoma City Thunder, is we're trying to play good teams and compete with them as much as we can. But obviously tonight, it was just hard for the guys to be able to put things together.
So to start out the fourth quarter, we had, you know, some good plays. Ty was able to knock down a three off of a Roby assist. And I feel like I say Roby assist a lot because, you know what, he's a damn good passer. Kenny knocked down a three. And then Moose knocked down a three off of a Kenny assist. All of this, keep in mind, really wasn't bringing the score much closer. But we were still fighting. And that's what matters. You know, like I said, this is way better than a practice. And honestly, we can't even get practices that much anymore. So this is really critical time for us. With 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the quarter, Roby was able to get an and one. And I love seeing Roby, you know, attack the perimeter and then attack the basket. He's got such a good feel for the game. I already mentioned his passing, his rebounding is solid. But, you know, watching Roby develop has been, to me, the highlight of the whole.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I was really excited how Coach played the fourth quarter and the guys that he was playing as a team. It was kind of giving us a shot at the future. We had Maladone out there, Baisley out there, Isaiah Roby, Kenny Williams, and Ty. That was really interesting to see how those guys were able to mesh. Jackson was thrown in there for a little bit as well. But the whole idea is that these guys are having an opportunity to play together in big minutes. And like Mark said, all minutes in the NBA are big minutes.
Baze was able to get a block, and then he was able to use a great up and under off of a pass from a Roby to score. Then Roby was able to get a steal a little bit later, and also a block. So he continued to play even though, you know, like I said, we weren't really in it. Ty was able to get a bucket off of kind of like a post. It was a really impressive play for someone who is considered a guard. And then Baisley, this was about a minute left, Baisley used a dribble up three, and that was awesome to see. To close the game out, Ty was able to knock down a three-pointer off of a Teo assist, and that was great to see. But in the end, you know, we lost. The score was 96 to 126.
Yeah, the score sucked. Again, there's just too many things that were good that happened that just get fixated on the score. Too many amazing, games by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. So for this is okay. This is a learning opportunity, and this is something that we can get to the film room with, and actually grow off of, especially because we have 3 days off in a row.
Definitely, man. Having a back-to-back and then 3 days in a row. You know, I don't want to get too much stuck on this, but like the fact is, when the NBA put that Memphis game in the middle of the schedule, that was the game that we had to travel in the snow and play the same day of. You know, and they included it as a back-to-back. We were supposed to have back-to-back days off, and then we ended up that evaporated. I really would have liked them to see them put that game into this current 3 days off. But the fact that they didn't, you know, whatever, we're going to move forward. So think about this. We had a back-to-back, 3 days off, followed by a back-to-back, and then we have the All-Star break. So in that, we can recognize that, yes, we played really well last night, and then tonight we had trouble with our energy. These 3 days off are going to be a great preparation. We know what we have to do. We recognize that we can play well the first night, but in the end, if we want to improve, the way to improve, the easiest would be to play well the second night too. So I know that we're going to look at the film, we're going to study it, and we're going to figure out how we can put our best foot forward on the second night of a back-to-back.
Absolutely, and especially because we play the San Antonio Spurs on the second back-to-back next week. So for us, looking at it like this, is that being able to have two teams in Texas, yes, there's going to be travel, but it's not going to be like the Memphis game, and it's not going to be like a back-to-back tonight. So this is going to be okay. We're going to be able to get these guys are going to be able to get it done. I do think that there's an opportunity for us to pull and sneak out two wins just before the All-Star break. That would be huge for us. But again, if we're not able to do that, that's okay, because the first month in all of March, we're not playing another playoff team. So this will be good for us to be able to at least get us to the All-Star break with at least one or maybe two more wins before it.
Yeah, let's talk about some offensive and defensive takeaways. I think this is one of those games where it's kind of hard to, you know, look at anything that we did as a team and say, oh, yeah, we did that really well. But I would say that, you know, one thing that we brought up, and look, Michael Cage put it in my mind, so I keep saying it, but, you know, there is no such thing as wasted NBA minutes. You know, if we come out and we compete the whole time and we recognize that we're playing against the NBA's best, then that's what matters. And offensively, you know, our three-point shot was not falling down, but we continued to shoot with confidence. You know, I think, to me, watching the player, the young players, particularly like Roby, Ty Jerome, those guys continue to be aggressive. And obviously, Darius Bazley did that too. We need to see that. You know, SGA, he does what he does, you know. And in the end, we can't be like, oh, we expect SGA to go out and score 40 to carry us every time. We have to be able to find ways to contribute the entire game. And that's one thing that I really appreciate about this team, is that, you know, we continue to find a way. We didn't just turn the ball over to SGA and say, go find a way to get us back in this game. You know, we weren't able to get back in the game like you and I both were hoping we would. And a lot of that was about our offense. But in the end, our defense, you know, it kind of looked like Swiss cheese out there too.
Yeah, you know, with our offense, the way that we're playing tonight, there's a lot of stuff you got to really be able to look at and break down. But let's just put it out there. We missed 36 threes tonight. I would say about 26 of them were wide open, or at least, you know, spaced enough where you can consider it to be a wide open shot. The cool thing about this night, and one of the best things about all of it, is that we had 24 assists. With missing that amount of wide open threes is big, because it shows that these guys are going to continue to get to the gym, continue to work on their shot. But the passing that they're doing and what they're continue to doing is carving up the defense with that extra pass is working. And 24 assists for the night is big.
Yeah, man, we definitely kept it going. It was one of those games where I just kept hoping that we would, you know, string it together, find a way to put a run on them. And we weren't able to do that. But in the end, that's okay. You know, we talked about this before. You know, we recognize that when we play these types of games, that this is a type of thing that can happen, especially on a back-to-back. But I'm really impressed with the effort that the guys put out. The coaches in particular really impressed me, because they never quit coaching. They recognized the value of those minutes, and they didn't say, oh, let's just get into the locker room, get back in our cars, and go home. They recognized what was going on, and it wasn't just about the score.
You're absolutely right. Again, getting these guys out there and the type of defense that Denver runs is something that they can get into the film room and they can really dissect and get into it. The reason that Coach kept Bazley out on the floor in the fourth quarter like that was because he recognized that Bazley was doing something right. And whatever he was doing right, he wanted to be able to go into the film room, break it down, and figure it out, so the next time that we play Denver, he can have Bazley continue to do what he's doing against Denver. And I think it's just a big thing. I think it's awesome that he was able to manipulate the lineup in the fourth quarter to put out there the young guys to be able to work together. You know, again, he wasn't expecting those guys to go off and have a crazy game and pull the game close, but what he wanted to do was have those guys play together, because most likely is during the second part of the season, these guys could be playing a lot of minutes together.
Yeah, man, they're going to continue to play a lot of minutes together, and then they are the future, and watching them continue to play is really critical. Man, this is a time that I have been so pumped up about every single episode, and today is no different. This is the time where we talk about our fans of the game. And today I say fans because it's true. You know, first, I want to give some credit out to somebody that we've given a shout out to before, Terranova Smith. He is hilarious. He has me cracking up, and I was at dinner this evening with my wife, and we were talking about his cartoons, and they were funny. And in the end, I was trying to talk about basketball, and his cartoons were the best way to do it while I was at dinner. And it was just like, you know, basically he drew up a cartoon that was like him talking to his wife. And she said, you know, do you want to talk about anything other than basketball? And he was like, or anything other than Thunder. And he was like, no. And that's how I feel all the time. And I feel bad for my wife. And he had me cracking up. And so at dinner, I brought it up. And it was funny. I mean, check him out on Facebook. He's on the Thunder group. And, you know, he's very creative. He's a visual storyteller. He keeps it going. So definitely appreciate Terranova Smith. Like I said, he's been our fan of the game before. And once again, he caught my eye with his ability to be positive and really capture what goes on in my life too, which is I'm obsessed with the Thunder, and I wish I could do other things that are like normal people do, but in the end, all I want to do is Thunder up.
Yeah, and for me, I feel like Thunder is something that I get excited about on a daily basis. Even before Mark and I ever got on the podcast, I would still dissect the games, break down the games, and anybody that's ever been in the system that Mark and I grew up in and have taught and have coached, all those guys, Adam Krejci, all those guys, you guys know what I'm talking about. The ability to break down games and figure them out and learn how to make the game a better game to watch is something that's always exciting for me. So before Mark and I ever did podcast, I was always one of those guys that geeked out and got a whiteboard and I'd write down all the things that I saw that were positive that the Thunder did. I love doing that with the G League. I love breaking down the games with the G League. And to me, that was something that I did way before I ever got on the podcast. So it's been one of those things where I finally have an outlet to be able to talk about the things that I love about the Oklahoma City Thunder. And, you know, I have a wife. She works full time. She's an army. She's in the army and she's a nurse. So she is gone a lot. And when she's gone, I have a lot of nothing to do. And this is the opportunity for me to be able to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And that's what we like to do. That's why we know that in the end, we're not going to take a day off even during the All-Star break, is because we don't ever stop talking about the Thunder. This is not like, oh, well, we're going to start a podcast. Let's see if we can fill time. No, we talk about the Thunder with everybody, with our wives, with our kids. We talk about Thunder with each other, with our friends. We have a group chat that all is focused on our friendship, but it somehow gets all hijacked to talk about Thunder pretty much all the time. The Thunder is a way of life for us. And so this is not something that we're pretending. You know, we love the Thunder. You know, and this is a time where I really appreciate, because we set it off for the end of the show so that anybody who wants to listen to us rant can, but everybody else can just tune us out if they don't. So if you listen this long and you want to hear what comes next, don't complain, because I'm telling you right now, some bullshit is going to start flying.
Yeah, and today I felt like it was a special case. We have a ESPN, a writer, that decided to go ahead and shit talk two of our Oklahoma City Thunder players. His name is Jonathan Giviani. This dude decided to go ahead and talk shit on Ty and Poku. Now, I'm going to leave Poku alone for this moment, and I'm going to focus on Ty, because I'm going to come back to Poku, and there's some things that I want to ask Mark about Poku, but Ty is the person we're going to talk about. He basically says that Ty is slow, he is heavy-footed, he is having a difficult time to find an advantage in the offensive passing, and he continues to struggle on defense. He can't find his shot anywhere, and he goes on and on and on talking shit about Ty. And he follows that the Oklahoma City Thunder made a minimal investment in him as a throw-in to the Chris Paul deal for salary matching purposes. Now, I'm not an expert, but we've seen this happen before with Sam Presti, where people are convinced that he is getting a throw-in player, and that throw-in player turns out to be a major contributor to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So as Jonathan has said, he thinks that Ty doesn't belong in the NBA and his stuff is trash. So this is bullcrap. You are full of shit, Jonathan, and I am sick and tired of hearing the negative stuff come for you.
Amen. And speaking of sick and tired of negative shit coming from shit talkers, let's talk a little bit about what's going on Twitter. It is really, really, really shitty. our good friend Thunder Erie from Ireland, he was actually suspended from Twitter because the people who continue to talk shit at us, they come to us constantly. He stood up to them. And you know what they did? After constantly saying things that are just so despicable, I can't even repeat about me, about my family, about everything, they reported him and got him suspended. Now, I understand that that's the name of the game, right? You just go around and you stir stuff up, and then as soon as somebody does something, instead of trying to beat them at their game and actually continue to talk trash, you just run around and call foul, right? But that's the thing. Tankers are cheaters. No, let nobody ever tell you that they're not. They like to abuse the rules in ways that put them in advantage so that they don't have to play by the regular rules. And that's what's going on Twitter. Tankers are cheaters. They constantly go out of their way to take advantage of the rules in a way that is unfair to people who are continuously trying to compete. And let's just put it out there. I know everybody was so obsessed with Cade and his 40-point game and all that bullshit. Check it out. Cade is no Cummingham. He's not coming. It's not happening. Get over it. He's not with the Thunder. Okay, 538 even said SGA is too good to tank. This is not something that we made up. We've been saying it all year, but we're not the ones saying it now anymore. The national media is. So for all those losers out there who watch Cade and start drooling and act like, oh, now we just have to go ahead and throw away the rest of the season so that we could have a chance to get him, they're wrong. They're flat out wrong. He is not coming to OKC. It's just not going to happen. Our record is far too good. And these cheaters, these tankers who go out of their way to do dirty things, and then as soon as they can, they start calling fouls when they realize they cannot win the game. These are the people that you don't want to play basketball with at the YMCA. These are the people that you don't want to be friends with. You don't want to go to church with. You don't want in your life. You don't want them a part of the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. And it's time that we collectively tell them to go fuck off. And trust me, Thunder Erie is not the only person they've done this to. I know of Moose Gill, just Alexander, that they've been able to run off Twitter completely. I know of another person that they've been able to get suspended because they defended the anti-tankers. This is a dirty, dirty, dirty game they're playing. They come at me, they say things that, honestly, if I was playing their game, I could easily get them suspended. But I don't play that game because if they're going to come at me, I'm going to have a conversation with them. And yes, insults might fly, but in the end, I have an idea that I'm trying to share. So why would I go out of my way to play below the belt games like they do? But in the end, they come at us. And then when one thing that happens that they don't like, they start calling fouls and they get the referees or the Twitter officials involved. And you know what? That's fine. But it's our turn to begin fighting fire with fire. And like our good buddy Dakota, God, I hope you're listening right now, buddy. What do we say, Dakota? Say it with me, buddy. Keep the foot on their necks.
Yeah, and this is a good thing that I want to bring up that Mark brought up a second ago is he said Cade Cunningham is not coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And let me just make this clear. He is not coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder with the Oklahoma City Thunder pick. He is not coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder with that pick. If he is coming to the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's because the Rockets ended up with someplace like the fourth pick or the fifth pick, and the Heat ended up someplace like the worst team in the NBA. And we were able to actually utilize that moment to be able to get a top two top five picks. But that is the only possible way that the Oklahoma City Thunder get Cade Cunningham. There is no way in the world we're going to be tanking with this team or the rest of the season, because honestly, even if we did tank at this point, we would still be outside the top five. So there's no reason in the entire universe that we would even consider it, especially with the second half of the season that's coming up. We have a very favorable schedule. We have an opportunity to win a lot of games in the second half. A lot of games will put us really close to the East or to the West, and especially because there's going to be a play-in tournament, we can make that play-in tournament this year. And that would be huge for these guys. We can make the playoffs if something were to happen amazing. There's opportunity for the Oklahoma City Thunder to do some amazing things.
And that's what we've been talking about the whole season. We've been looking at the schedule. We've been looking at the fact that there is a play-in tournament for the first time. And we're really assessing the fact that this is a special year. We have such a great group of young players. We have such a great group of experienced vets. And this year is all about that. You know, we knew that there was going to be trouble. Our buddy Post said, you know, this was going to be a game that we struggled. And I agreed with him, but I also, you know, I'm a fan. It's hard for me not to be a fan. And so I cheer for this team. You know, I asked our good friend Rylan Stiles over at Locked On Thunder. I asked him what he thought about, you know, what was going to happen next. You know, he's been really adamant that this team is only going to win 28 games. So I figured this was a good chance to ask him how he was still feeling 28, you know. And he said, you know, he was pretty squirrely. He's got a little Andrew Schlecht in him. I'm not going to lie, but let's face it. You know, instead of giving a straight up answer, you know, he kind of squirreled his way out of it. And in the end, nobody who was tanking or going into this year hoping to, you know, tank, they don't believe it anymore. It's impossible. We're almost halfway through the year. We're already sitting, you know, at 14 wins. We got two more games before that half year point ends up. And we've played the hardest part of our schedule already. To act like we can't ring off wins when we're playing against some of the worst teams in the NBA is just asinine.
One other thing, and you're right, Mark, by the way, I absolutely 100% right what we were saying. And one of the things I want to bring up is Poku. Poku is having an amazing time in the G League right now. He is killing it. I feel like he is turning into one of those players that you can actually start counting on to do some amazing things. For me, looking at it like this, is that even with everything that's going on right now, and especially with the draft next year, if everything goes the way that ESPN is projecting right now, in 2021 NBA draft, after the draft is done, Poku will be the sixth youngest player in the NBA. So he'll still be a top 10 youngest player in the NBA even after next year. So this is something that we're going to continue to see him grow. I do believe that the more time he gets in the G League to have to polish his game and get it better, the better for him. And it's something that I am truly excited about. Also, huge shout out to Yurt7. He had 26 points in 21 minutes tonight. Today, he played amazing against the Bluecoats. I was really excited about how he's continuously getting better. He's a big 7-footer. He is somebody to really keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, Poku's highlights are becoming legendary. Everybody is loving them. He's doing great. And honestly, you've been telling me about Yurt7 for a little while now. And when I saw that stat line, him coming off the bench and putting up all those numbers, I was like, damn, I feel kind of dumb for not watching those highlights that you told me to. But now I know I have to. So let's check it out, right? In the end, that's what this team is all about. It's about long-term future. It's about development. And it's about competing right now. And that's what we're all about. You know, once again, we're back up, we're maintaining our spot for one whole week as the number two Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. We are back up in the 151. That's what our rank is right now, 151. Rylan Stiles and Locked On Thunder, they're dragging around 188. They haven't passed us for a whole week, and I know they're dying to because Rylan was already telling me that he passed us a little prematurely, and it's not a surprise that Ryan gets off a little prematurely.
You just can't help yourself, can you? I love it. I love it, man. This is great. You're absolutely right. We are here to make some noise. We are here for the Oklahoma City Thunder fans. We're going to stand up for those ones that are putting their neck out there. We feel bad for anybody that we drag around in this fight, but I love the fact that people are starting to recognize the divide of the tankers and the non-tankers. And there is definitely a mindset that we have to point out that it is about the mindset, and it isn't about necessarily what's right or what's wrong. But all these tankers are about to change the tune of their voice, and they're about to start understanding that this Oklahoma City Thunder team is not a fucking joke. They're going to win some games the second half. They're going to start recognizing who we play in the East and how many easy games that we have an opportunity to pull off and make big time wins. This is an exciting time to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. This is a huge break for us as we continue to get healthy. Paul George is going to be back soon. This team is going to be better than they were at the end of this break right here. They're going to be better by the time the break is over. And I guarantee you, Sam is still looking for ways to make this team and give them a push to make a push to the playoffs.
Absolutely, man. 100%. And I think that's a great place to leave it. Let's just say this one more time. You guys are on the second, the number two leading Oklahoma City Thunder podcast in the country. Not just our country, right? We're growing all the time. Let's talk about some of the other countries that love us a lot, right? France, we're growing super fast in France. Thank you to all of our French listeners. Please continue to tell your friends. You know, we are huge fans of Théo Maledon, and we continue to preach the gospel of Théo. Canada, shit, man. How about that? We are growing so fast in Canada. It's incredible. You know, so thank you. We love SGA. We love Lou Dort. And we're not going to stop loving them ever. Trust us. South Korea, we are growing very fast in South Korea. New Zealand, Australia, Spain. We have some of the most loyal listeners in the world in Spain. Chencho, you know what's up. You know Jersey on the way. That's right. Definitely. Chencho knew what he was doing when he picked an SGA jersey. For sure. United Kingdom is growing incredibly fast for us. Thank you so much to our listeners in United Kingdom. And what I always like to say every single episode is to our listeners in Hong Kong and Taiwan, we see you, we hear you, we continue to support you. We will never stop because in the end, we got to stick it to the bastards because that's all we can do.
We are the family of the Oklahoma City Thunder. We are a family. If you guys ever need anything, you guys reach out and we'll do whatever it takes to help you guys out. We love each one of you guys for taking time out of your day to listen to us. Thank you for listening to The Last Storm. I'm Dave.
And I'm Mark, and we have 3 days off before the next game. So we are going to go a deep, deep dive into the 538 article. We're going to figure out what's going on with SGA's game coming up tomorrow. Thank you for joining us for The Last Storm. Thunder up.